You know, I feel like this is such a unique time when it comes to relationships and especially loneliness. Before COVID, in the pre-COVID world, you could go to Cartel or Starbucks, your favorite coffee shop, and hang out with friends. You could go and have a play date at the park. You can even remember, if you think back, you were able to sit at a table with your entire life group, all in one place, face to face. But now we're in this world where we're doing birthday drive-bys on people's streets, and we're waving across the street at our neighbors. And for many of us, as we sit at home, we feel this incredible sense of loneliness. And we're feeling this loneliness maybe in a way that we didn't before, in maybe a heightened way. And even as some states are beginning to open up, we're beginning to wonder, what is life even going to look like after this? What are relationships going to look like after this? And even with the ability of FaceTime and Zoom calls, which if you are anything like me, you are done with 8 hours of Zoom call meetings every day. But even with the ability of that technology, we still feel alone. We still feel disconnected. We still long to be face to face with family and friends. We long, even those of us who are not the hugging type, we long to get a hug from a friend. And I've heard from so many people, and maybe you can relate to this, where you're beginning to have this quarantine fatigue, right? It's this brand new word that is being associated with this time in our culture where you are just fatigued of being inside. You're done with it because we were made for relationships. But even before all of this, loneliness was an incredibly huge epidemic in our culture. In fact, here are a few pre-COVID stats. One out of every four Americans said they are always lonely or lacking friends. And one study said that 27% say they don't have a real friend. 50% of Americans said that no one knows them well. No one knows them well. And in Japan, before COVID, more than 500,000 people under 40 hadn't left their house in 6 months. In 6 months, that's incredible. And in fact, researchers have found over the years that this increased sense of loneliness in our culture, especially among kids and students, leads to an increased sense of life that is meaningless and devoid of purpose. See, and this is incredibly important because in this cultural moment right now, we are seeing anxiety and depression rise with this sense of loneliness as we are stuck at home. See, stats like this are why we're doing a series right now called Fully Charged. Because we want to have relationships that are fully charged. And we want to help you have relationships that are fully charged. We want you to have the most important relationships in your life be all that they could be. Now, where this comes from is we want you to think of a phone battery. Now, maybe your phone, if you look at it right now, it's at 93%. Maybe your phone is at 8% just because your kids have been playing on it before the service started. But when you think about your relationships, how would you rate them? Where would you put them on that continuum of 0 to 100? And how, if your most important relationships are at 20%, how do you get them to 50? Do you have any relationships today that go from 80 to 8% like that, that just drain the life out of you? See, for us to have fully charged relationships, you and I have to be fully charged in our own personal life. For me to have a fully charged marriage with my wife, Katie, I have to be fully charged not only in who I am, but also in who I am with Jesus. For me to have a fully charged relationship with my kids and our neighbors and our friends and my coworkers, I need to be fully charged in my relationship. And so we have to look at where we are in our relationship with Jesus so that we're able to be fully charged in our relationship with others. But how do you do that? I want you to think for a moment how you would describe your life right now. If you could attach one word to your life, what would it be? Recently, a friend of mine asked me, he said, Josh, you know, how are you doing right now? And, you know, like most people in this moment, especially guys, will be like, oh, I'm fine. You know, I'm hanging in there. I'm getting through it. Like, it's really hard. And, you know, we kind of hem and haw about it. And he looked at me and he said, Josh, no, really, how are you doing right now? And I got real quiet. And for a moment, I just thought, do I really want to say how I'm doing right now? Does he really want to hear how I'm doing right now? And I looked at him and I said, honestly, I feel sad. I said, I feel like there's just this sadness that's just hanging over my life. And the best way to describe how I feel right now, this season that I'm in, is just sad. Now, here's why this is important. I want you to think about what word you would attach to your life right now. See, those words, that feeling, is telling us, is telling you something important about something you need to dig into and something you need to deal with and navigate. Because that word, the whatever word you would use to describe your feeling in life right now, is having an impact not only in your relationship with God, but also in your relationship with other people. And it's incredibly important because until we're able to identify where we are, we don't know how fully charged we are in our relationship with Jesus. And so then we don't know how fully charged we are in our relationship with other people. See, and the reality is, whether you're an introvert or an extrovert, you were created for relationships. You were created to be known by other people. You were created to know other people. You were created to love other people and for other people to be able to love you. And that's why I think this is such a defining moment for us in our culture. You know, it's interesting, in talking with people and even looking at my own life in this season, there's a few things that I've observed that I think are really helpful when it comes to this idea of loneliness and relationships. The first one, and I think these might surprise you, I know they've surprised me just as I have kind of processed through them. The first one is, we're beginning to realize how much we really love and need other people. See, even if you are a huge extrovert, you are highly relational, you have an enormous emotional intelligence just off the charts, this moment is reminding you how important relationships are and how important people are. The second thing is, I'm learning for myself, and maybe you are, how quickly we can get bored in life. Like, the most depressing moment happens right around Sunday morning when my iPhone alerts me to how much time I've spent on it. And every Sunday I look at it and I think, you know what? I have too much negativity in my life. I don't need any more, Apple, right? But we get bored fast. And we're going to come back to that because it's incredibly important. And the third thing that I think this moment of staying home is showing us is how loud being alone can be, how loud isolation can be. See, being alone and being isolated is actually louder in our souls than being busy. Because when we're busy in life, we can drown out those feelings, we can drown out the voices of hurt and anxiety and depression and fear and sadness, but when we are isolated, those voices get louder. And those memories shout at us. And if we aren't careful, our feelings of loneliness and isolation will begin to lead to increased levels of stress and anxiety. But this is just at a human level. Because remember I said being fully charged in relationships is also impacted by being fully charged in our relationship with God. Because right now there's a chance that you are feeling isolated in your relationship with God. You're feeling dry. You're feeling like God is distant. You're feeling like maybe God isn't hearing your prayers in the way that he used to. And especially because you're not able to gather in community. You're not able to gather together physically as a church. And so those feelings of isolation heighten when it comes to our spiritual walks. But here's what's so important to understand. This is what we're going to look at today. Is that so many times in the Bible, the people that God spoke the clearest to, he did it when they were alone. God's voice became louder to them when they were alone. And the reason is because I think they were able to learn how to use their loneliness for the greater good, for what God had in store for them. And it's this incredibly important difference that I don't want you to miss, is it's the difference between solitude and isolation. Between solitude and isolation. And this difference is incredibly important. And John Mark Comer, who's a pastor up in Portland, wrote a fantastic book called The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry, which I would highly recommend to you. But in it, he talks about the difference between solitude and isolation. He says, solitude is engagement and isolation is escape. That solitude is safety, but isolation is danger. That solitude is how you open yourself to all that God has for you. And isolation is painting a target on your back for the tempter. And author Lisa Turquist said, if the enemy can isolate us, if Satan can isolate us, then he can influence us. And so solitude and isolation, John Mark Comer goes on, he says, solitude is when you set aside time to feed and water and nourish your soul, to let it grow into health and maturity. And isolation is what you crave when you neglect your soul. And here's what's important. Solitude and loneliness are not the same. Solitude and isolation are not the same. And if you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. I don't want you to miss this. That isolation drains us and solitude connects us. That isolation drains us and solitude connects us. And what we see in Scripture again and again is that without solitude, it is virtually impossible to move forward with God and become all that God has called and created us to be. Now, here's an important truth that I've learned over the years and have just been reminded of it recently, is that there is a difference, an enormous difference, between being alone and being lonely. There's an enormous difference between being alone and being lonely. And the way that we find out how to use our loneliness and really dig into this cultural moment of staying at home is through solitude. Now, before showing you this from the life of Jesus, here's what I want to remind you. Because maybe you came today, you found us online, maybe accidentally. And maybe the one thing you need to hear today is that you are not alone, that you are not forgotten, that God has not walked out on the story of your life, that you're not stuck in the middle of a cosmic accident, that God is near. He is with you. And maybe that's what you, as we walk into this idea of what it looks like to engage in solitude to connect, instead of isolating to disconnect, you need to be reminded God is with you and wants to connect with you. See, and if you look at Scripture, when you see the people who God speaks to the clearest, the people who are able to hear God the most, it happens in silence. It happens in solitude. It happens in the desert. It happens in the mountains. It happens away from everyone. Abraham, Moses, Elijah, David, Paul, Peter, on and on. The Apostle John. God seems to speak the loudest and the clearest to them when they are alone. And you might wonder, but wait a minute. I thought this was a relationship series. I thought we were supposed to talk about like how we engage in relationships. What does being alone have to do with that? And again, remember, for us to have fully charged human relationships, we have to pull back to fully charge on our own with our Heavenly Father. Just like with your phone, to fully charge your phone, you put it down, you plug it in. You plug it into the source. And that's exactly what has to happen in our own hearts and souls for us to have fully charged relationships. Now, we see this truth most clearly in the life of Jesus. Now, Jesus, right at the beginning of his ministry in Matthew chapter 4, I want to ask you to open there now, and our online host is going to have a link for you. And so whether you have your Bible or your YouVersion Bible app, you can pull it up there. But right at the beginning of the ministry of Jesus, Jesus has just been baptized. And this is what it says at the end of chapter 3 in Matthew. It says, as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. And so God the Father says, this is my son. Jesus is my son, in whom I am well pleased, whom I love. That's how everything starts for Jesus. That is the foundation of our walk with God, of knowing that we are loved, that we are a son of our Heavenly Father. We are a daughter of our Heavenly Father. And then in Matthew 4, it says, Jesus then was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry, and the tempter came to him. Now, here's what's important. The word for the wilderness in Matthew chapter 4 can be translated desert, deserted place, desolate place, solitary place, lonely place, quiet place. And Jesus goes out to the lonely place, to the desert, not by accident. Not abandoned by God, but led by the Spirit for something important. And the reason that he went into the desert, the reason that you and I often walk through deserts in our own lives, is because of being prepared for what is next. Jesus in this moment in the desert was being prepared for what was to come. And he needed strength to face that. He needed strength to be able to face that. But here's something that's incredibly important is that what we see in the life of Jesus is that being alone with God gives us strength to face what's next. And right now, you and I, because we have no idea what tomorrow holds, we have no idea what the next 2 weeks hold, the next month, the next season, we need the strength for what's next. Because remember, isolation drains us and solitude connects us. Isolation drains us, but solitude connects us. And we see this again in Mark 1. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up and left the house and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions, the rest of the disciples, went out to look for him. And when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." See, Jesus got up early in the morning, sought out solitude and being alone. See, this verse at the end of Mark 1 comes after a marathon day of preaching and teaching, of healing people, driving out impure spirits. I mean, Jesus in this moment had to be exhausted spiritually, physically, emotionally, mentally. And so what does he do to regain that strength? What does he do to reconnect with his Heavenly Father? He goes to solitude. Because in solitude, we're refueled by speaking to our Heavenly Father. We're refueled by listening to him, by bringing our worries, our exhaustion, our sadness, that our Heavenly Father is able to remind us of his love and affirmation for us in Jesus. Because again, isolation drains us, but solitude connects us. And at that moment, when Jesus gets, when his disciples come around him and they say, okay, everyone's looking for him, Jesus responds and says, well, let's go somewhere else. Because solitude, being alone, being quiet, is where you and I are able to hear the voice of God the clearest. See, I don't know if Jesus planned to stay in that town after that. But after being alone in solitude with his Heavenly Father, he said, I know the plans and the purposes. I know where we're supposed to go next. See, and here's why this is incredibly important. Because right now, some of you have lost jobs. Some of you have taken pay cuts. Some of you are on furloughs. Some of you are trying to decide, do I change jobs? Is now the time to go back to school when this is all done? Is now the time to start a business? And you're in this place where you're at this many crossroads and you're trying to figure out, how do I know what God wants me to do next? And the way that we know, Jesus shows us, in solitude, because solitude connects us. Solitude connects us. In fact, Jesus did this so often that in the Gospel of Luke, we're told that Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. It was just a common practice for him to do it. But Jesus is living out one of the most well-known Psalms in Scripture. And it's this in Psalm 46:10. It says, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. See, what the psalmist wants us to know is that when we begin to be afraid, feel anxious, when we're tempted to go back, that we are to stop and be still and know that he is God. You know, what's amazing is I've heard this verse probably 1,000 times. It's on Christian posters and coffee mugs everywhere. And it's one of the most well-known psalms. But in this moment, we have this incredible opportunity to be still. We have this incredible opportunity to stop. But just because you and I are still doesn't mean that we will be quiet. Just because we slow down and stop doesn't mean that we'll hear God's voice. See, we have to silence everything around us so that we're able to hear God's voice. Think in your life right now, are you able to put in a practice of being quiet enough to hear God's voice? And just because you're still doesn't mean that you'll know that he is God. You can be still, you can stop and still feel all kinds of fear and sadness and anxiety, but to be still and know that he is God. You know, I'll be honest with you. When we put together this message series, this was not at all the message that I had planned for today. We were going to talk about loneliness, but I was really going to focus in on just the fears that we have of connecting to people and what does it take to move past them. But over these weeks, as we have been at home and as businesses have closed and as schools have closed and just all the uncertainty around it, I really started to dig in to say, okay, how do we use this time of being alone? What does God want to do in us so that he can do something through us when this is all over? What does it look like to use this time of being alone instead of wallowing in self-pity or falling into old habits or falling into all kinds of things that we want to avoid? What does it look like to use this time productively? How do we come out of this fully charged? How do we have that solitude? See, the way for us to know that solitude and being alone with God and connecting with God is important is to know really where we stand. And so think back to that word. How would you describe it? How would you describe where you are right now in your life? For me, remember I said, it's just sad. So here are some ways to know that maybe you're moving into isolation and you need to be moving into solitude to connect. The first one is this, is that you feel distant from God. You feel distant from God. God feels far away from you. Maybe you feel distant from yourself. That right now, maybe you feel like you can't articulate how you feel about life. You can't articulate how you feel about relationships. It might feel like you're on the kind of on the outside of your life, just kind of watching it happen right now. You feel your anxiety and stress just rising. Or maybe this is incredibly common. You're just exhausted. I hear from so many people right now who say, Josh, I can't remember being this tired. And you just feel exhausted. Or maybe you've fallen into some old temptations and old habits. If that's you, then solitude is inviting us to something deeper in this moment. Being alone with God is inviting something deeper in this moment. But what would that look like? I mean, if you're like me, when you think of solitude, when you think of being alone, we think of monks, we think of people out in the desert, we think of people who don't have kids or don't have roommates, who don't have real jobs and real stress. But what if it's something more? Here's what I want to ask you to do. To help you with this, I want to ask you to text SILENCE to 31996. And if you do that, we're going to send you a guide to help you engage in this incredibly important spiritual practice, but one that might be new to you. Now, here's a few things that my wife and I have learned. Now, I'll be honest, my wife is way better at this spiritual practice than I am. But we've learned some things with our 5 kids on how to engage in this spiritual practice. The first one is to get up early or stay up late, to know if you're a morning person or a night owl. When's a good time for you to engage your heart and soul and mind with God? To find a quiet place. You might need to go out of your house to find a quiet place. Maybe you need to get in your car and just drive around the block to find a quiet place. But how do you find a place that's quiet? Maybe it's taking a walk without your phone just to decompress and to just refocus and recenter on your relationship with God. And for many of us, being out in nature is that place where we are just able to connect in a deeper way with God. To slow down, to breathe. To know that the things that feel urgent right now maybe aren't urgent. And one of the things that really helps me is to write down and focus on an attribute or a characteristic of God, of who he is, his love, his compassion, his healing power, his grace, his mercy, his presence. What do you need to focus on? What do you need to remind your heart and soul about who God is? Now, here's what some of you are thinking. Okay, but if I do that, Josh, my mind just flies 1,000 miles an hour and I have a to-do list. And if I sit down and, you know, and all of a sudden my kid screams in the other room or my roommate comes home or I get a call from work, you know, what do I do in that moment? And don't feel bad. Get up, answer the phone, take care of it. And then come back. If something comes into your mind, just hand it over to Jesus and just say, Jesus, here's something I need to hand over to you. Have a notebook next to you and just write it down. But that way you're able to let it go. See, I love what John Mark Comer says in his book about what happens in solitude. He says this, he says, in solitude, we're able to face the good and the bad and the ugly of our own hearts. that our worry, our depression, our hope, our desire for God, or even our lack of desire for God shows up. Our sense of God's presence, or even our sense of his absence. Our fantasies, our realities, all the lies that we believe and all the truth that we come home to. In solitude, we face our motivations, our addictions, the coping mechanisms that we reach out for just to survive the day. In silence and solitude, all of this is exposed. Now, if you think, but Josh, why would I want to do that? That sounds, I don't know that I want all of those things exposed. Here's why. And this has become my verse over this last season as we have been stuck at home. It's found in Psalm 34, 18, and it says, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. See, in solitude, we're able to see our brokenheartedness. We're able to see our crushed spirit. We're able to see our hurt, our loneliness, our anxiety. We're able to see whether or not we're numb to life or our feelings. And we're able to know that even in the midst of all of those things that come up and all of those feelings that we're trying to drown out, that God is near. That God is near to the brokenhearted. He's near to the anxious. He's near to the numb. He's near to those who are closed off, that he is near to be strengthened, to be saved when we're crushed. See, over the last several weeks when I've started my time with Jesus with this verse and just reminding myself and just saying, God, please remind me that you are near. See, because remember, for us to have fully charged relationships, we have to be fully charged in our relationship with Jesus. You know, and right now, I know many of us, we feel anxious, we feel lonely, we feel afraid, we feel sad, we feel deflated, we feel numb, we feel like we're just in this place where we just feel stuck. And if we were together right now, if we were in our all of our campuses in a service together, I would ask those of you who feel that way to go to a prayer partner to maybe stand up so we can pray for you or raise your hand. But maybe what you need to do is you need to text a friend. You need to look at your spouse who's sitting next to you, or maybe you need to tell your roommate, or you need to text somebody who's in your small group and just say, you know what, right now I feel numb. I feel afraid. I feel alone. I feel anxious. I feel crushed, I feel brokenhearted. So that they can be with you, so that they can pray with you. And what I wanna do is, wherever you are, wherever you're watching this, if that's you, I just wanna pray for you. Because I know that God is near. And so let's pray together. So Father, I thank you that you are near to us when we are broken, when we are brokenhearted, when we are anxious, when we are numb, when we feel afraid, that you are near. That none of us are in a place right now where you are far away, but you are close. And you save those who are crushed in spirit. You save those who call out to you. And so God, as we watch this, wherever we are, whatever we're walking through, I pray that we would have the courage to call out to you, that we would have the courage to reach out to a friend, to say where we are, to have somebody who can walk with us, to support us, and to know that you are with us. In your name, amen.